Rush Hour with Luke Brendam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M.
Welcome to the jungle.
Heyo, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. Coming up on the show today, we'll celebrate the fact that our borders are reopening and see what you have to say about that. Also, the word of the year for 2020 has been unveiled. We'll let you know what it is. James Magnusson's on the finale of SAS Australia tonight. He joins us on the show, as does champion Ironman Ali Day, who's doing something really great for an awesome cause. And you can hear that and a whole heap more if you listen to this. It's the catch-up, and it's starting for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
The news broke today that a lot of Gold Coasters have been waiting for, and that is that our borders are opening to all of New South Wales. Lane Kelcup from Nine News is covering this and joining us on the phone. G'day, mate. How are you?
Was that applause for me, or was that for the news of the reopening?
Nah, it's for you, mate. It's for you.
Oh, there you go.
Of course it is, Lane. We had all of Sydney blocked off to us, and now it's happening, mate, finally. So when is this happening?
It'll happen December 1.
Right.
That's pretty much always been in the roadmap. When the Premier made the announcement this morning, she would have made the decision announcement probably, well, at the end of the month, which would have been Monday, but this just gives everybody a bit more time to make their plans and hit the road over Christmas, I guess.
Does it come with an asterisk, Lane? In other words, if there's an outbreak of any sort that, it could be revoked?
Oh, look, there's always a chance that, it could be shut again. It's happened before all throughout the year. But we're just a bit unsure at this stage what would, what would bring that about. There'd have to be a major outbreak. Jeanette Young did say today that each case would be looked at separately if that did happen. But you'd think it had to be pretty bad. And it's hard to imagine now that, given New South Wales has been so free for so long, and Victoria as well, that, Victoria's got no cases in 20-odd days and also no active cases. So the state's pretty much COVID-free.
It seemed pretty dopey the way it was working, whereby we could actually mingle. Like, Sydney people could come up to Byron, for example. We could go to Byron and mingle with Sydney people, but the borders still remain closed.
Yeah, that was really strange.
That had no explanation to it at all, that one. But, mate, how's it been received via Sydney? Because it seemed personal between Gladys Berejiklian and Anastasia Palaszczuk at some stage.
Yeah, well, Anastasia Palaszczuk rang Gladys this morning. She also rang Daniel Andrews, just to mention the Victorian border. If there are no new cases overnight, will open next Tuesday as well. We haven't heard from Gladys directly, but she did tweet saying it was one of the best phone calls ever, and she thanked Anastasia Palaszczuk for making the announcement. So maybe a little bit of warming of that frosty relationship.
And what about the community spirit or feeling behind this, Lane? Have you, look, because last week on the show, mate, I opened the phones up. I said, what do you reckon? Should we be opening the borders? And I thought it would be a slam dunk that everyone would go, yeah, open the borders. Every phone call we took, mate, said, no, keep them closed.
Yeah, that's extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah, and so what's the feeling amongst the people you've spoken to around, is it taken well, this news?
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, there are still, as you know, people out there who just don't want to run the risk of catching COVID-19, but I think they can see now that how well things are going in the southern states, that risk is really diminishing. So hopefully they'll be welcomed back with open arms. I mean, there are so many people here and down south who haven't seen family for nearly 12 months. So I can imagine there'll be a lot of people, happy people out there at least.
Hey, good on your Lane. We'll see it all tonight on 9 News, mate. Appreciate your time this afternoon.
Take care. Another round of applause.
There he goes, mate.
Cheers, guys.
To a standing ovation, Lane Kelcup leaves us. See you, mate. Hey, and I wouldn't mind opening the phones up, but we've done this before. Last time, we did it last week where we said, do you reckon we should open the borders? And as I said to Lane, we took no calls saying, yes, we should. What do you think of this idea? Is it good or bad? Are you happy with this decision or are you unhappy with the borders opening? Kathy from Helensvale's just called through on 13 27 10. That's the number if ever you want to be a part of the show. Borders reopening next Tuesday. Kathy, what do you think? Good or bad?
Yay. It will put money in the pockets of a lot of people just before Christmas, just before school holidays. It'll give people their jobs back. Yay. But, I have a big but. Doesn't mean that international borders are now open.
No, it doesn't.
That's one thing that's not being mentioned.
Right. Well, that's because they're not open. Good on you, Kathy. Let's go to Damien from Telebudra. Go ahead, Damien. You're on the air, mate. What did you want to say?
Mate, I just wanted to say, opening the borders, best thing ever. Can't believe Queensland voted for a premier that kept them closed for so long. Well, I think it says a very, very sad indictment of us in this state.
Hey, Johnny from Pack Pines has called through. Go ahead, Johnny. You're on the air, mate. What did you want to say?
Yeah, mate, I reckon it's about bloody time. The amount of businesses and that have gone broke over this. And I haven't seen my grandson since he was, like, 2 weeks old. And he's now... one and a bit.
Yeah, he's shaving now. Oh, I saw him. He's got a Ned Kelly beard, John. Oh, look at this. Johnny just said about bloody time. Gavin from Oxenford, I've got a note on my computer here, and all it says is about bloody time. You're happy as well, Gav.
Yeah, mate, yes.
Yeah.
Sure is. Well, he sure is, mate.
Yeah, well, next Tuesday at Hope. It didn't make sense to me, Gav. I spoke to Lane Kelcutt from Nine News about it a moment ago. It didn't make sense that we could mingle with people from Sydney in Byron Bay, but they weren't allowed over the border. Like, if it was going to spread, it would have spread during the interaction that we'd all have just south of the border. That whole thing was so dopey.
Yeah, it was, mate. It was.
That just made no sense. Hey, good on you, Gav. So it sounds like the Gold Coast is pretty happy about it, just in time for Christmas. I'm happy about it. It's going to save me $2,800 because my little girl's coming back from boarding school and she would have had to have done the hotel quarantine deal, which is not cheap. It's $2,800. And now she's allowed to come straight back home. So, look, a little bit of Christmas good news for us ahead of the holidays.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Here's the deal with the Oxford Dictionary Word of the Year. They've been able to calculate which words have been used the most in the English language for 2020. One word in particular, get this, one word in particular has had a 57,000% increase on 2019. What word is it? Cliffy from Parkwood. Go ahead, mate. What do you think it is?
I think it's ISO, as in isolation.
No.
ISO.
There's a few that have had like upwards of 10,000% increase. These are quarantine, bubble. This one, mate, unprecedented. But one word, and you think about it. Go to Greggy from Gilston. Go ahead, Greg. What do you think it is, mate?
Hey, mate.
Yeah, what word do you think it is that's had the 57,000% increase?
Oh, I was going in. I'm locking in pandemic.
Yeah, you got it, mate. Give him some bells and whistles. Well done, mate. Pandemic.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. Mate, pandemic has been used 57,000% more in 2020 than what it was last year. Quite incredible.
That is gold.
Get this one. Pandemic's been used more than coronavirus, more than unprecedented. One word, the word that's had the biggest drop-off from 2019 to 2020 was Brexit. This time last year, we were all talking about Brexit. Mate, we're going to send you off downstairs to No Name Lane. It's a beautiful place, mate, and they're open for lunch now. You've got $100 to spend on us, mate. Well done.
Oh, mate, you're a champion. Thank you so much, Luke.
Good on you, mate. Hang on there. I'm just having a look at some of the other people calling through here. Yeah, Dallas was ringing through with pandemic, Tristan with COVID, D, another one with ISO, and Anthony from Eleanora with unprecedented. Yeah, unprecedented got a good hammering, no doubt about it. If I owned a racehorse and was naming it in 2020, I'd name it unprecedented. But no, the word that was used the most in the media was pandemic for 2020. It's the Oxford Dictionary Word of the Year.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Now, we've got the finale of SAS Australia happening. Down to the cream of the crop, if you will. One of them's James Magnusson, who's joining us right now. The Rig, how are you, mate?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
The finale's on, obviously, and the way this show culminates, as I understand it, is you find out if any of you guys are, you know, good enough to qualify for the SAS. I know you can't tell us if you do, but can you tell us, like, does anyone qualify? Are you allowed to tell us if anyone gets through?
Yeah, people do get through.
Right.
More than one.
More than one. Okay.
There you go. There's your scoop.
Mate, you know what? Honestly, I'll be surprised if you're not one of them. I think that the Honey Badger will be one, and I reckon you might be a shot as well. What have you learned about yourself, mate, throughout that two-week process?
Yeah, I think, coming from a sport like swimming, and particularly being a sprinter, a lot of the time we're wrapped in cotton wool. So, you know, I turn up and train of a day, but outside of that, I have the maximum amount of sleep possible. I have the comfiest bed. I have the best diet. I have the best conditions to train in. And so everything is, you know, really perfect in a sense of having to be able to perform. This was the exact opposite. And I was really shocked at how durable and resilient that my body could be. You know, I was convinced a couple of days in that my body was going to fall apart, that I was going to have injuries, I was going to get sick. You know, we weren't sleeping, we weren't eating, we were freezing cold. And somehow we just kept doing these crazy feats of endurance and strength day in, day out, in, you know, the worst possible conditions. And it really surprised me each time. You know, you'd get to the top of a mountain carrying a pack up the hill and just turn around and go, I cannot believe that my body was able to do that.
Yeah, right.
So it was a pretty cool experience. It's kind of something I wish that I had during my swimming career or at the start of my career to get a better understanding of how resilient the body can be.
Mate, you know what? You know what I find fascinating about your answer? That's a far lesser scale, mate. No way comparing myself to you, but that's exactly what I learned from endurance sports also. In a nutshell, you're tougher than you think you are if you don't quit. And it's amazing how far you can go if you just decide not to stop.
Yeah, that's it. And I think it'd be, you know, I know a lot of probably celebrities and athletes are watching the show this year and thinking, no way in hell I'd ever do that. But I would actually encourage people to do it just to kind of give yourself that experience and the opportunity to not place limitations on your body based off what you think is possible.
Hey, you mentioned swimming there. I want to ask you your opinion on this dude. So yesterday, some American swimmer, they call him the stud, you probably know him, Caleb Dressel, his name is. He broke two world records, mate. In 75 minutes, he broke two world records, the 50 free and the 100 butterfly. Who is this dude, mate? And have we got anyone that can challenge him next year in Tokyo?
Yeah, he's pretty much like the next Michael Phelps. So he was sort of coming through the ranks as I was at the end of my career. And he's really hitting his straps now. Pretty much in the butterfly events, he's unbeatable. In the freestyle events, we've got Kyle Chalmers, who'll go up against him in the 100 freestyle. So that'll be one of the big races to watch for us as Australians. And then the thing with America is you chuck him in their relay teams and they basically become unbeatable in all those relays. So with a guy like him, you've probably got about 5 guaranteed gold medals for the Olympics next year.
Is that right?
So, yeah, he's a bit of a freak, and yeah, he's pretty much, you know, Michael Phelps retires and this guy pops up and he's pretty much a spitting image. So they're pretty lucky over there in America.
Sure. Hey, good on you, mate. I'll be surprised if you're not one of the hombres to get through, but we'll wait and see. We'll see it tonight on Channel 7. And all the best, mate. Thanks so much for your time, Savo.
Cheers. Enjoy tonight's episode.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
A group of our finest athletes are getting together to run in their budgie smugglers around Burleigh, as I understand. And I need to find out exactly why. Champion Ironman Ali Day joining us right now. G'day, mate. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you doing?
I'm all right. So what is going on, mate? You and who are running around in your underpants?
Oh, so we're raising awareness, mate. This is our second year running in our budgies up and down North Burleigh Hill.
Unreal.
It was a crazy idea for my business partner, Anthony, who's my business partner at the gym. And we just thought, what a good idea to get guys out in the community and to be vulnerable. And we had over 100 turnout last year, so open for a couple of hundred on Saturday, mate. So, yeah, really looking forward to it. And I should say it's not only just for blokes to come run, it's for anyone, like kids, moms, dads, whoever. And if you don't feel like wearing the budgies, you don't have to, why not? But yeah, if you feel up to it, we'd love to have you down there.
It's a good idea, mate. And as you say, it's for a really great cause and a bit of fun. So what, last year this kicked off with 100, and it'd be great to get, what, 200 down there this year at least?
Mate, we'd love to. It's as I said, me and my business partner turned up last year and thought, oh, it just might be me and him running up and down the hill. So we were a little bit worried, but when we turned up, we had obviously just The Gold Coast is so great, and so is our community at the gym as well. So, mate, would love to have a couple of hundred down there on Saturday morning.
So talk to us about the timing then. If we want to be involved, how do we get involved?
Yeah, so I don't have to register or anything like that. We're starting at 6 o'clock and just meeting at Miami Surf Club. You can even park over at North Burley Surf Club as well and walk over the hill. And pretty much we're just meeting there. We'll walk up the stairs, meet down the bottom, at North Burley Hill, and we'll just run up and down that for half an hour, 45 minutes or so. And as I said before to you, mate, like it's open to anyone. There's no cost. And we're just trying to raise awareness for Movember. I've got a bit of a shocking moustache growing at the moment, so I'm looking forward to getting rid of that on Monday, but obviously really excited for it was just the best feeling ever last year, mate, and hoping to just have the same feeling again on Saturday.
I'm glad we can get behind it as a radio show. I'd like to get Channel 9 down there too to get a bit of support for you, Ali, because more power to you, mate, because as you say, you use the word making yourself vulnerable, and that's what I like. You're going out there to have a bit of fun, but it is a really important topic, Movember, and the awareness that can be raised, because a lot of times dudes just don't talk about things that we probably should. And I think women do it a lot probably more easily than what we do. So to have someone like you jump on board, mate, and lend your support to something like this, I think it's commendable. Good on you, mate.
Nah, appreciate that, mate. Really do.
Yeah, and just before we let you go, how's your injuries going, mate? I think last time we spoke to you, you had two broken wrists.
Yeah, I think we spoke around this time last year about the budgie runs, didn't we? So, look, the wrists are going really well. I'm actually racing on the weekend down at Kingscliff. So I'm looking forward to racing there. Will be my first race back.
I just can't wait to see it on TV, because I know they've shown it like previously whereby it's like but it's delayed and you already know who wins, and to see it live,
it's
exactly what the sport needed.
100%. Like, you'd remember the days of like when it was on live. I've done a few years of it live years ago, and it adds to it so much for our sport. So it's been obviously a pretty horrible year for a lot of people, but I mean for our sport it's been pretty good, man.
Yeah,
one of the best things we can ask for. So, we're pumped
about it. Rock on, Ali. All the best, brother. Thanks for your time, mate.
Take it easy, bro. I appreciate it.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I think there's a great initiative that we might see rolled out on our beaches this summer here on the Gold Coast. John Brennan is the head honcho from Surf Life Saving Foundation. We've got him on the phone at the moment. G'day, John. How are you, mate?
Mate, good. Yeah, good, Luke. Yourself?
Good, mate. So I was reading that there's a proposal to encourage us beachgoers this summer to spend a dollar or donate a dollar for every hour we spend down the beach. So 2 hours of being kept safe by our surf lifesavers, you chuck $2 in the kitty. Is that the go?
It's similar. So what it is, so our volunteer lifesavers around the country, 1.4 million hours that they provide to the communities in their red and yellow uniforms in the army around the country. So we're trying to obviously raise for funds for these organisations right around. So we're saying, well, for every dollar the lifesavers are there, can you kick a dollar in the into the kitty? So for us, it's just a new concept. I mean, recognising firstly the wonderful work the lifesavers do, 1.4 million hours, knowing that they're on the beaches all year round in some parts of the state and territories and everything. So for this reason, we're just trying to raise vital funds, and there's no greater connection than the people when they and their family and friends go to the beach. Think about, well, while I'm here, I'm helping the people standing in the red and yellow uniform watching over me.
It's a bloody good idea, John. But what I reckon we need to do, mate, is make it as easy as we can for people that want to donate. And I think the majority of people would. When you put it in context like that for a dollar an hour, you're going to have someone who's going to keep you and your family safe. It's the best money you're ever going to donate. But I reckon the donation bins need to be there on the beach every day throughout the course of summer, so that, in other words, before you leave, you do the right thing, you chuck it in the kitty. Is that going to be attainable?
Oh, mate, it won't be attainable this year, and first, because most people won't carry any coins to the beach, they've all got cards.
But Luke, given
your background and in the lifesaving as well, it's definitely something we can take on board for future years and everything, because it's it's vital that we try and raise these funds for the clubbies to keep buying equipment, training the members. Because I mean, each year in the country, over 10,000 rescues are done by the clubbies around the country. So that's 10,000 people that get into trouble can go home to their loved ones that after that visit to the beach. So in recognition of that, yeah, we're trying to do the best, and maybe the tins on the beach might be here too.
Yeah, I mean, you make a good point. I'm thinking about it because, like, it's a dead set easy sell all day long, John. We could sell this to the people, mate, because I reckon people want to donate to Surf Lifesavers, but it's got to be as easy as possible. And if it's like, do the right thing when you're down there, go and swipe your card, go and do whatever before you leave, go and see the boys or girls and just swipe your card, tap and go, and you're on your way. And that's the good bloke thing to do. I reckon people will do it, mate. And I think the majority of people are decent human beings and not tight asses, and will do that.
Well, mate, it's a service. You just think it's a safety service. So
yeah,
their day at the beach will be so much safer and continue to be safer while the Red and Yellow Army can stay on the beaches doing the great work that they do.
Hey, Johnny, you know you got my support all the time, mate. I think it's a fantastic...
Thank you very much, guys, for the assistance as well.
Rock on, mate. There he goes, Johnny Brennan. He's the head honcho from Surf Life Saving Foundation. And, yeah, I think it's a great initiative. Donate a dollar for every hour you kept safe. What great value for money is that? Okay, we are racking off out of here now. I want to thank you so much for your company today. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon for your local drive home from 4. Cop you then. Bye.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.